I think there are one or two seats available in various places around here. If anybody doesn't have a seat, it's great to see the place full tonight. If you don't have a seat, you're welcome to take one here. Welcome again to everybody, and welcome to anybody who's actually listening to us online. It's great. It's so good. I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to this day for a long time, because it's the day where we get to share good news together. And 2018, and some of you will have not experienced, in fact, would you just raise your hand if you've never been to this kind of meeting before at the beginning of our church year here? Welcome. Let's give them a big round of applause. Welcome. Welcome. We've done this every year since I've been here. Back in 2010, I think, was the first one every year. How many people have been to them all? Oh, they definitely deserve a round of applause of running the race set before them. Well done. But 2018 has been a year that has been full of encouragements. And by the way, the notes for tonight, hopefully you've already discovered them on your table. There's been lots of encouragements. We've had Love Loughton, the eighth one. Can you believe it? 8 Love Loughtons we've done now, reaching lots of people. We've had our fourth church weekend, which I hope you agree, I found it quite a moving church weekend. There was a lot of vulnerability going on, apart from on the last night, courtesy of Mark and Lydia. But no, it was good fun. It was good fun as well as moving. we're encouraged that we've actually seen Cafe Hope increasing. Just quickly that, you know, this time last year, a few months ago, Cafe Hope was getting about £700 a month in, and now they're getting £900 regularly in, and that's just an indication of the more people coming. Cafe Hope is really full and is doing so well. The church is growing. The Hope Center is in constant use. I wish some of you would be able to come sometime and experience a normal day here, because it's quite a normal day to have something like just the other day on, Monday, we had the Horizon lunch. There was loads of baked potatoes and senior citizens having lunch in there with a talk as well. And then you'd come in here and see a busy cafe, and then you go into the Smith room and it's busy there. And, you know, sometimes you need a break from it all, you know, and you go into the prayer room or something, and you think, oh my goodness, there's a lot going on. But it's great to see that this is a real buzz place for ministry through the week. And most of the people coming into church through the week don't yet know the Lord, which is a massive opportunity for us still that we need to penetrate and get into. We've had hungry nights over this year that have been encouraging, especially, you know, when we want to spend a bit longer marinating in the presence of God together. We've had changes in global mission. Carolyn is leading that now, and I thought she did really well with her notice on Sunday morning. And we're really excited, and we're going to be talking a bit next week more about some global missions updates and announcements for you as well, to do with a few different things. We've had Living Hope, which really started in earnest this year, in 2018, I should say, and that is picking up lots of steam as well as we're wanting to do community evangelism. These are just a few highlights, really, and one of the other highlights was Ignite for me this year, because Ignite, obviously, we haven't had a director for children and youth all year, but it's remarkable. One of my biggest encouragements this year has been the Ignite team, who have really stepped up and have really served in a most remarkable way. And Ignite grows without a staff member in charge of it. So well done to all the Ignite team. It's so appreciated what goes on here. Why don't you just share, each person just share one encouragement from the past year around your tables. Just one, you know, in pairs. Just find someone and just share something that God has done, because it's good to speak of the things that God has done to each other. So just do that now. Let's come back together. Well done. Thank you. I would love to have been part of all of the tables just hearing encouragements. It's good to... We need encouragement. Every one of us need encouragement. It's oxygen to the soul. We need encouragement, and let us never, ever give up encouraging one another, even the more so as we see the day of Christ approaching. Let's be encouraged. I also want to thank everybody, really, because none of this is possible. None of what happens and all the buzz and all the life here comes through the people of God. It comes, the Spirit of God is upon us. And I want to thank people for being willing, available, for having that yes attitude to what God wants among us, for taking risks, for stepping out. It is really appreciated, everyone who gets involved. I praise God, because the main thing I look for every year, the main thing is we want to see people coming to Christ. That's the main thing. And also growing closer to Him. And praise God, you know, we see that. And I ask myself that question. Have people come to Christ this year? If not, we need to examine ourselves pretty seriously. But we praise God people have come to Christ. But I would encourage us all to increase in that desire to see people coming to the Lord. I do feel really passionate about St. Mary's and really passionate about Epping Forest. And I wanted to say on this occasion that I know that it's good to encourage, but alongside encouragements, I think it's really healthy for us to be honest. Don't you agree? To be honest, alongside encouragements. And that's something that I feel the Church Weekend was so good at in opening us up. We all need that opening up to be more honest and more truthful together. And actually, I think it's true to say that all of us, you know, we all face different pressures in life. Alongside the encouragements, we face pressures. We face challenges that can actually be really hard to deal with. All kinds of challenges, and I've written a couple down here. Busy lives, complex commitments, frustrations, strained relationships, disappointments, feeling overwhelmed, things not always working out as we'd hoped. And that's just one day for the vicar here. in all honesty, in all seriousness, that is how it often is, isn't it? You know, let's be honest. But it reminds me of actually how important it is when we go through these disappointments, struggles, issues, how important it is actually that we have a vision to have our lives saturated with God. Because it's God that we need. Without God, we are lost. Without Jesus, we're lost. But with Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And sometimes we forget that. I was running today, and I'm on one of those NHS apps things. It's like a podcast that helps you to build up your running. I'm starting low. but we build up running, and I remember she said something today, this person on the app. They were saying, like, this is the you kind of run walk, and I'm doing my last run, and they said, you know, you're doing really well. I'm like, even though this is a podcast, I'm kind of like, thank you. You know, it's so funny. You know how I feel. And I'm running, and the person on the podcast is saying, this is the time when you build fitness. It's when you really want to give up. It's the time where you want to quit. It's the time when you think, I'm done. Now's the time to really keep running. This is when you're going to build fitness. And I just thought, that's so true with God. Even though we have disappointments, even though things don't always work out the way we'd hoped, even though we're frustrated and things take longer than we'd thought, actually, it's the running of that race that actually builds the spiritual fitness into us, running the race marked out for us. So I would love us to give to God our thanks, but also give to God our honest struggles as well, which is really important. And I just wondered, before we get into all the brilliant things about tonight, I just want us to take a moment to pause and to pray and just to reflect, because we've spoken to each other about encouragements, but just speak to God now about things that you just need to be honest with Him about, and maybe things over the past year that you would say, I've struggled with that. That's been a disappointment for me, or that's been a difficult relationship, or things didn't work out like I'd hoped. And I just would like us to take a few moments to pause and to give those things to God. So we're going to be still for a moment and know that He is God. And in that place, just learn to trust Him. So let's be quiet for a moment. past months, in the past year, we want to give to you our thanks. And we also, Lord, want to give to you our struggles. Thank you, Father God, that you are good, faithful, loving God. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us in the battle to stay faithful to you. Help us through pain and through thanksgiving to keep being worshippers and disciples of Jesus. I pray that none of us would give up. I pray that all of us would be strengthened in the Lord. Help us, Lord. Life is overwhelming at times, and we don't always know what to do. But Lord, thank you that we can fix our eyes on you. So help us, Father, we pray. And help us, Lord, as we not only look back to last year, but look forward now to the year that's ahead. And Lord, we're not kidding ourselves to think it's going to be necessarily easier. But I pray that you would equip us now. Equip us to fight the good fight of faith and never to give in. To keep saying yes to you, Father God. And to keep giving thanks to you and being honest with you, Father God, and each other. And I pray you'd remind us, Lord, of that picture of Jesus kneeling among us that we shared one Sunday morning, inviting us to kneel along with you and come on our knees. And I pray that we would learn that place more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I did want to do that today, and I know that often in past times we've only focused on encouragements, but I think it's important to be honest. And at other times, rather than tonight, you might want to share with other people, as you've done, about an encouragement. You might want to say, this has actually been a tough spot for me. This has been a pressure point in my life over the past year. And maybe in life groups, or find someone that you feel you can trust to be able to share with and be open with, because we are, all of us, broken followers of Jesus together, and none of us has got it all together. So, we want to look here. I'm just going to move this slide along. As a church family, we have been on an amazing journey with God. And we focused this time last year, we were looking at the theme of journeying together. And we've been on a journey as a church. And I was reflecting, and even since the summer, on a staff day that we had, been reflecting about the journey that God has been bringing us on as a church. And we've... we're still on that journey, and it takes a lot of patience in church sometimes to see a journey through. Often, for me, it takes a lot of patience. Sometimes I want to get on with things right now, and I recognize a lot of those struggles in my own life. You know, we want to see things happen, and sometimes they take longer, don't they, than we think. But we've been on different journeys, and one of the journeys we've been on is about our vision as a church, and that's why we're preaching on that at the moment, and are daily working out how to live that vision out. And there's going to be, I feel led to by the Lord to write something this year that will actually hopefully at some point in the year come out for life groups about, it's going to be a course called Saturated, about what does it mean to be saturated with God. I think this is a vision God's calling us to wrestle with and keep going with and persevere with, but I'd love to see that being released into life groups this year. But God is taking us on a vision to keep persevering in this vision and in our values as well. We've been on a journey with Ignite, and I've mentioned that already, and the leaders who've grown in Ignite over this past year. And we've done some structure change over this year. There's been a lot of adapting and people leading. And again, I'm going to be, like I said, speaking into that more next week. But please do be praying for we've got the advert out for the team leader at the moment. for the Ignite team. More on that next week. But we have been on a real significant journey. And one of the things we've been listening and saying, Lord, what are you teaching us through this journey? Nobody seems to be coming forward. Lord, are you saying something to us in this? And I wonder whether one of the things God is saying is he's calling us to rise up more as the body of Christ and not just rely on some people to come in, but actually the people of God in the ministry that he's called us to. And that's actually how Ignite has adapted over this year and done really well at doing it. And so we've been trying to listen to what God has been saying on that journey as well. That's a picture of Love Loughton, and I believe we've been on an evangelism journey over this past year. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been talking about the gospel a lot more. Because we want the gospel to be front and center. We want the gospel to be renewed in the church. If you didn't hear, I was preaching on that just last Sunday about the place of the gospel in the church and things that we need to look out for and things that we need to pursue. And I really believe that the Lord is going to, we're going to grow as we focus on the gospel and as we can become gospel people and build a culture of evangelism. But I feel like we are on a gospel evangelism journey at the moment. We're on a wholeness journey as well. That's the picture from the Hope Center Counseling leaflet. And we started this time last year talking about care and journeying together and how we build pastoral care more. And we're still talking about these things a lot and trying to learn and grow and develop in these things. I want us to build more of a culture of include so that everybody feels included in this, because we've all got so many different backgrounds and experiences and so on, and it would be easy sometimes for people to feel shut out or rejected by the church. And what I long for is that nobody would ever get that message from St. Mary's, that everybody's invited, everybody's included, and that, you know, that is so important. And this whole thing of vulnerability as well, for us, as we've just been speaking about, to grow in honesty, in healing, and in hope. And that's important. We've been on a whole journey for that. With Living Hope, we've been growing in our journey on things like justice, issues, community ministry, things like eco-church is something that's growing in the PCC. We've been talking about recently as well. And really, it's about our impact on our local and global neighbor that we've been thinking about through Living Hope. And there's a lot more ministry coming about now through Living Hope. Community ministries, that we're getting real relationship with people rather than just putting on stuff that we see people for a brief amount of time for. We're beginning to develop much more relationship, and it feels more whole, and it's good. We've been on a buildings journey over the past few years, and our buildings have been changed now for mission and for ministry, and there's a purpose in that. And God has blessed us with these buildings, not for us to sit and enjoy them only, but for them to be used for the kingdom of God. And then we're going on this multiply journey. And I keep thinking, as I was thinking about all of those different things and the streams that God is bringing together in the life of our church, particularly, for example, with Ignite, how God is calling us actually to multiply in the season. And one of the things we talked about on our staff day in the summer was about moving from addition to multiplication. So a lot of churches just focus on adding people to their church. But actually, the New Testament church was a movement. It wasn't just it wasn't one congregation. It was a whole movement that broke out, and there was the power of the Holy Spirit was upon it. And so we want to be a church that multiplies, not just adds, so that we're going to be giving away, as it says there, not so much, well, obviously we want people to come in, but the emphasis is not just on people coming in, it's on getting the kingdom out, because our world needs that. And so that's the heart of this multiply vision. So that's coming on to this multiply. Our heart is to multiply. And this is the story of St. Mary's, I believe. It's who we are. It is in our DNA as a church to send people. And there's a list there, and there'll be others on that list. You know, people like Mark and Tandy, Ruoff, who are now in Hammersmith, Rob and Melissa Oram, who he's in Herefordshire and looking to move on into his incumbency there. Heike Prentice, who's now in Hammersmith as well. Sam and Anna Pollard, who we just sent out this past year, church planting in Barking, Riverside. I'm staying in really good, meeting up with Sam and Anna and Caroline and I regularly. We're continuing a good relationship with them regularly because we want to encourage them in their new church planting endeavors. And then you've got Jonathan Huff and David Baker, and also Tanya Payne as ordinands within our church life here who are going to be sent out into their ministry as well. And we're not only thinking about ordained people, because mission partners, we have all the mission partners that we're involved with. I would love to see someone sent out from St. Mary's in mission work overseas or in the UK as a mission partner. But you don't have to be ordained to do God's work. Far from it. In fact, it helps if you're not, probably. God is using everybody. And actually, even in the diocese here, churches are being planted and led by non-ordained people. So anybody here has the potential to plant a church. Do you believe that? The kingdom of God is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God is a multiplying God, and he's able to do more than we can ask or even imagine. So let's come on to talking about what this really means for us. So the story here is, just in this last year, Bishop Peter, who's our area bishop, designated St. Mary's here as a resource church, which is part of the national strategy of the Church of England now. You may have heard things like Fresh Expressions and some of these things. Well, the strategy that's going on now is for resource churches, churches that can plant other churches and release life into different communities. And resource churches, there's 5 points there about what a resource church is. It is recognized by the bishop. It is part of a strategy to evangelize the local community. We can take that one. It is, the church is resourced to plant and revitalize churches. That church will develop a pipeline of leaders for further planting. And I'm really glad to be able to say tonight that we've actually got another curate, a new curate, who'll be coming in the summer. And that will be someone who's already in his mind and in our mind will be planting a church from St. Mary's in time to come. And that's exciting. We spent a long time recruiting this person. So I'm really excited that he's coming. And if possible, I'd like to even bring him here next week, but I might have to bend the rules slightly. But that's what I'm slightly like. But I might not be allowed to, but I might be allowed to bring him here because we're excited that he's coming. We'll make an announcement when we're allowed to. But there's a pipeline, and we want to be focused here on not just planting a church, but planting churches, plural. If we think of the tremendous needs that are in our region, Epping Forest and further beyond, there's massive need for new churches that are gospel focused and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need, and that's what we should be getting behind. And we want to create a pipeline of leaders, and I would say lay and ordained. So it's not just curates and ordinands. I'm really happy to explore how we can plant churches with people who are lay leaders at the heart of those churches. And then also providing mission resources for the region as well. So it's something God, the bishop, has asked us to be a church that does this. So we don't want to just be focused on St. Mary's or even just focused on Loughton, but actually the region. Lift our eyes to the harvest and think, God, you know, you've got a bigger picture for us. We're involved in something that's making a difference in eternity across Epping Forest. Anybody up for that? Great. Some of you are still thinking about it. But multiplying churches here. And tonight and next week, I'm going to be looking at 3 things. We're going to look tonight at multiplying churches, multiplying leaders, and then next week we'll look at multiplying disciples. So please come again next week because I don't want you to get half the picture. It's important to get the whole picture. Acts 20:35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Here I've got great news, really. And this is exciting. At the invitation of the Bishop of Barking and with St. Michael's Loughton's agreement, our first opportunity to serve is going to be a graft with St. Michael's Loughton this summer, which is so good. And here is a picture of St. Michael's. Isn't that, we love St. Michael's. I'm really excited about this. And it's something that we've been praying about and planning and looking at for quite some time. So St. Michael's is currently in a vacancy. Nina Coulthard was the vicar there, and she moved on into retirement in October. St. Michael's is our neighbouring parish, if you didn't know, in South Loughton. And it's part of Churches Together in Loughton and part of the same mission and ministry partnership that we're part of. So we're partners already with St. Michael's. St. Michael's was actually originally planted by St. Mary's way back in the 1930s. So a completely different generation. We're working already together. So it's all part of God's loving plan for us as we come together in this relationship again. And I'm really pleased. Look, we've got Lorraine here with us. Would you just stand for a minute, Lorraine? Because we want to say thank you. Lorraine is currently the Associate Vicar at St. Michael's, who's currently leading St. Michael's. And Lorraine is the best advocate for St. Michael's I know. She loves St. Michael's. And we're going to be hearing from Lorraine later tonight. Can we just give her a welcome? It's great to have you. Now, I want you to hear this next bit really clearly, because it's very important. Because at this stage, this is not 100% set in stone, because it is it's dependent on the appointment of the next vicar of St. Michael's. And that's something that we want to be praying about. So it is dependent, so it's not done. It's something that will be in process. But the exciting thing is for us that Mark and Lydia, there they are, have in February, at the end of February, Mark and Lydia are going to be interviewed by the diocese as the sole nominated candidates for the role of Vicar of St. Michael's, and that's so good. Really good, and we are delighted. I'm really delighted to be able to continue in partnership with Mark and Lydia in our relationship in St. Mary's and St. Michael's, but also in that way. But obviously, I do need to emphasize it's not finished yet, and that's really important to say, because we could run ahead of ourselves, but actually, please do pray for that appointment process. It's a genuine appointment process. That with St. Michael's will be producing their parish profile, as always happens in the Church of England, and the PCC of St. Michael's will be nominating some parish representatives, just as happened here when I came, and they will be interviewing Mark and Lydia, and it is their choice as to whether Mark and Lydia. So St. Michael's would, if that's how they feel, would invite Mark and Lydia to come, and then we'd also be doing this grafting from here with them as well. And so if successful, there's the opportunity of leading then a graft between St. Mary's and St. Michael's. And I want you to know as well that this has all been discussed. The St. Michael's PCC know about this. Our PCC have discussed this as well. And the bishop knows, and it's all legitimate. It's all good. And we're just praying. I'd love people to pray for Mark and Lydia and to pray for St. Michael's PCC in the appointment process. That would be really wonderful. Amen? So we just want to explain a little bit as to what a graft is, because some of you might be scratching your heads thinking, what is a graft? A church graft? Well, the graft language comes from the natural world. I've tried to illustrate it here as best as I can. It's really hard to get a good picture. That anybody gardeners here, you know what a graft is. It's where two plants are grafted together to propagate new fruit. And that is the thing I want you to hold in your mind. New fruit. And that's brilliant, because St. Michael's is bearing fruit. And what we would love to see is more fruit. And that would be our heart's desire, simply to come and serve, to love and to serve, to come alongside and to bless. And that's the heart of this graft, to enable St. Michael's to flourish, bear more fruit, and see more people to come to Christ in Loudoun. So the purpose here is for people to come to know Jesus, and for the Church of Jesus to grow and expand, and more people to come to faith. That is all that's in our hearts, to release that gospel life that I was speaking about earlier. And I really, really emphasize that we want to honor all that God is doing in St. Michael's right now, and all that God has done in the story of that church. So we're not in any shape or form going to try to make St. Michael's into a St. Mary's. That's not at all. Because sometimes people get that into their minds about this kind of thing. It's not that. We want St. Michael's to be the St. Michael's God has called St. Michael's to be, and to the St. Mary's that God's called us to be. Distinctive. And we're going to listen, and we're going to really want to serve the vision. Because God's doing things that in that part of Loudoun through St. Michael's, and we, you know, and that's what we want to be involved in, just joining in with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we want to honor what God is doing there, and we want to acknowledge God is really blessing what's happening here, and we want to share that life. We don't want to keep it to ourselves, and share the life with others too. And we would love, and Mark and Lydia and I have talked about this, we would love to see St. Michael's plant churches in of their own in time. And that would be brilliant as well to see that. So just to be clear then, Mark and Lydia would, by God's grace, if this appointment and if St. Michael's discern that God is calling Mark and Lydia there, and that's an issue for St. Michael's to discern. If they felt that, then Mark and Lydia would be sent out from St. Mary's here in the summer, and they would go with a graft, in other words, a team of people from St. Mary's here who would be something like 10 to 10 or 12 adults, and they would go with people who those people would have discerned a call of God on their life, just the nudgings and the leading of God to become part of that church graft. And that would be in conversation with Mark and Lydia, that they would have that discernment together. That would be important. And then they would be sent out with them. And the heart behind it is to love and serve, to join in with what's happening in St. Michael's and become part. They would, that group would become part of St. Michael's Church and would see the kingdom of God grow in South Loudoun. So there's going to be more about this in March, hopefully. And the idea is that this would all happen over the summer. So it's going to be looking like a pretty momentous year, but we just wait to see, because we don't want to be, there's no presumption. We're waiting and seeing what God calls us to do. So that's what a graft is. And what we'll be doing is taking some more questions on that, because I'd like you to think about this over this week and come back next week with any. We're going to have some questions time, and people can ask more questions, and that's absolutely fine. What we'll do, so the graft will, the key thing is here, the graft is going to have a impact on all of us. Assuming, or just for the moment speaking as though it may happen, it would have a massive impact on everyone, because everybody here will need to ask themselves the question, am I called? Because we'll all have one of two responses. I'm either called to be part of it, or I'm called to step up in St. Mary's more. Because certainly for those people who go, we will see gaps emerge in our own church family, and it will call all of us to be asking the question, Lord, how can I step up and serve in a new way at St. Mary's? It might mean that you move what you are doing and you change in something about your ministry. I don't know. There's going to be a kind of movement around the church family. It's going to be good. It's going to create new life. And it's good to do that, isn't it? And see new things happen. So everybody will either be called to plant or to step up into the gaps and possibly develop further opportunities. So perhaps God won't call you to this first venture. It might be that God's calling you to the next one or something after that. And together, I would love us to be in a process as a church now where we, because we're this resource church and we've got this call on us, And I believe it's a sort of brilliant kingdom thing. Where is God calling us next? Where is God calling us after that? How can we be an instrument of blessing around this community? And here's the thing, it will be costly for us. Some of you might be, the penny might be dropping, and you might be thinking, oh, hang on a minute. You know, that's not all too, it's brilliant, but it's actually sacrificial. It's costly, it's not easy. And it really does put a call on us to selflessly love and serve. That's the heart in it, really, is to serve and be gospel people and take risks and step out. And that's the heart behind it. And it's also a wonderful kingdom opportunity. It's the kind of thing that we're made for. So being a resource church means that we'll be looking for further possibilities and praying into where God will lead us to graft again or plant a completely new church somewhere in Epping Forest. Can I get an amen? Was that an amen? I said a completely new church in Epping Forest. Thank you. Churches, we pray as God leads us. We only want to go as God leads us. We are not, underline this in your minds, not, capital N-O-T, empire building at all. Not interested in that. We are kingdom building. We're Jesus people, we're gospel people. We just want more of the life of God in our community. That's what this is all about. And that's what I get excited about. I'm not interested in mini St. Mary's. I'm really not interested in that. We've got one. I'd love to see more kingdom life exploding all over Epping Forest and the regions beyond. So this is a journey of planting that will plant new churches and we're going to be a light set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And I just want, I know I've spoken for a few minutes, but I just want to share these two quick passages of scripture because I want to bring scripture into what we're doing, which is really important. Obviously, this is deeply biblical. The kingdom of God is a multiplying kingdom. And God calls, I mean, there wouldn't be a church today unless they planted churches back in the beginning. Praise God for the Apostle Paul and Peter and other people who went out pioneering and planting churches. And I just want to draw your attention to two very quickly. And straight after that, I'm going to invite Mark and Lydia are going to come up and share. And Lorraine is going to come up and share as well, because we really want to hear from you, Lorraine. And then we'll move on. But let's just read this together. John 12, 23 to 28. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came into the world. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And this is a significant moment here. It's only the third time, I believe, in the New Testament we read of the audible voice of God being heard. For there was the baptism of Jesus, there was the transfiguration, and this moment. And so there's got to be something significant here. It's really talking about the death of Jesus, is the context. But it's also talking about kingdom growth. And there's a principle of the kingdom at work here. Jesus' death, Jesus had to die in order for a new life to be multiplied. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm going to die if He's speaking of himself. He's the one. He's the seed who dies so that we can know eternal life. But Jesus' death was a multiplying death. We are here tonight because of the death of Jesus. We're given new life in his death. And that's how God's kingdom grows. Jesus rejected the easy route. It actually took him to die on the cross. And dying, here's the thing, dying to self is the way to multiplying. It isn't some kind of newfangled technique. It is a deeply kingdom thing. The way to multiply is to die to yourself. That's how we make disciples. Maybe that's why we don't make so many disciples. But we could make many disciples by dying to self. And church planting and grafting is dying to self. It is as a kingdom way to bring new life. And how might that look for us? It might look a couple of things. Approaching grafting and planting with genuine humility. And I really mean that. Humility is at the core of this. You know how Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. God wants us. This is not about blowing our trumpet. This is about humbling ourselves and saying, God, use us. Use us to multiply far more than just adding to St. Mary's. If we're going to be too small. I've always said we'll be too small anyway. This building is going to be too small. We need to multiply out. But we do that with humility. It's a dying to self. And we don't control or have our own agenda behind it. So, and that's an important thing. And we've been meeting with a guy called John McGinley, who's done this before from Holy Trinity Leicester. And one of the things they spoke about was how they, each place, each church plant is distinctive. You don't set it up to control it. It's like I've said here, it's friendship, not franchise. We're not setting up a franchise. We're going out to see just different things happen, diverse things happen, things that we would never have dreamt of happen. So we take our hands off. What did Jesus say? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's not us. It's we've got to give up control and come humbly. And also, as it says here, send key people, which may mean gaps are created in our donor church. That's sacrificial. So we come with a sacrificial heart. So, you know, some people who have got real key responsibilities here may decide to go. And we just want to celebrate that, even though it's costly, hard for us. There is a cost. But this is the kingdom, and we are called to die to self, and in that dying, new life comes. And that's exciting. And that takes me to, that last point actually takes me to Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So we see here that there's five leaders who are mentioned in this Antioch church. And the church in Antioch was a strong church. And these are strong leaders. And remarkably, the Holy Spirit identified two of them who were key leaders, Saul and Barnabas. I mean, who wouldn't want Saul and Barnabas in their church? Wow, imagine having Saul and Barnabas in your church. You'd be like, we are the best church. You know, we've got Saul and Barnabas. No, Saul and Barnabas were identified by the Holy Spirit to be sent out. That would have been costly for the church in Antioch. To be sent out to plant and encourage new churches. And notice the spiritual preparation for the work they did. There was fasting and prayer. And we want to take that on board as well. In this, we're not just going to nonchalantly go along and do these things. This needs spiritual preparation. It needs a real fear of the Lord in what we're doing here, and prepare spiritually for this. So those are just a few very, very brief thoughts, and I hope you feel as excited as I do about all of this. And I'm sure it'll be kind of sinking in, and there'll be questions that will be coming up, and lots of stuff being churned up, and that's good, just as it should be, isn't it, in a church that's alive. So we want to think about these things, and I want to pass over to Mark and Lydia, who are going to come up first. Let's welcome them. And they're just going to share for a few minutes what's on their heart as we do this. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, we're just going to share briefly. Just going to introduce who we are, because you see a lot of me, but you might not see a lot of Mark on a Sunday, apart from running around after the kids. I'm going to share a little bit of what our heart is as leaders and our sense of call to St. Michael's, a little bit about what we might see the graph look like, and then ask you to pray.
So hi, I'm Mark. Who are we and what does this look like for us? Well, let's go back a little ways. Lydia and I met at a church called Megate many moons ago now. And we met at a time I was there, the children and youth minister of the church, and Lydia actually came to faith through an Alpha course at that church. And that's how we got to know each other. And at the time I had just been discerning the call to ordination. And Lydia herself actually felt a call to leadership, but being new to the church, and she's beautifully humble, she kind of thought, oh, maybe I'm a bit too new to the faith for that. But Mark's going for ordination, so maybe it means I'm called to be with a leader. And so she sort of parked that a little bit. We went off to Bristol for my theological training. And we were talking about this just two nights ago, actually. So if we look at that as God calling the two of us into leadership together, that was God's call on our lives 9.5 years ago. And if by the summertime, it's going to be 10 years. So it's been a call that we've sort of walked with and waited for 10 years. And it's been a long wait, and there's been lots of sacrifice, but it's really exciting to sort of see the promised land, just up ahead. And what that 9.5 years looked like is we moved to Bristol for my theological studies. And it was whilst we were there that Lydia felt the call again, and maybe she thought, actually, no, maybe this is a call for me to be a leader. And then the usual thing with theological colleges that happens, well, one, we were already married, so that one was out the window, but babies. Theological college does two things. It marries you and it gives you babies. And we had two babies in Bristol. And so that put Lydia's pursuit of ordination sort of on hold for a bit while she did an amazing job of raising our kids and still being like the student president and the student. They're not interested. Too many details. Sorry, Liz. Okay. So anyway, then we moved to Basildon where I did my curacy. And we ended up, I did a 4-year curacy with the permission of our bishop because at that point it allowed Lydia then to finish. She had started during my studies, during my curacy, she had started studying theology herself, going through the ordination process. And so when I was given an extended curacy, it meant that my curacy would finish at the same time as Lydia's theological studies, which meant the beautiful dovetail meant that we could just flip over. And when we came then here to Loughton, Lydia was the curate and I was the stay-at-home parent because we had two younger children and we wanted Lydia to be able to get as much training from Malcolm as she possibly could. So we swapped roles and then we adopted over the summer. So I've now got 3 kids and it's glorious.
So that's our journey. And it feels really a blessing, doesn't it, to finally be here for that call like 10 years ago of God saying, I want you to lead side by side. I'm glad he didn't tell us then it'd be 10 years. But it's been a slog, but we finally feel like the processes have matched up to us being able to be shoulder by shoulder, running with the Lord. So our heart as leaders, together has always been, predominantly to grow disciples, to see people grow up in the faith, to learn about the faith, but also, we don't want them to stay around us too long because we want them to be sent out and to be, growing the kingdom wherever God is calling them to be. And we also see our leadership. God's been training me, being a mother, and Mark being a father, that our leadership style we see very parallel with that of our parenting. So we see discipleship and parenting very close to one another. So we just like we want to see our own kids grow up and leave the nest one day. We don't long to have 40-year-old children living at home with us. So we are parenting our children. We're growing them, nurturing them. We encourage them. We tell them when they're not doing something too great. And that's very much our leadership style as well, is that we want to see people nurtured and grown in the faith, to see them sent out.
And how this relates to St. Michael's is that actually quite early on, when we first arrived here at our time for Lydia's curacy, we felt a sense of God's call actually to St. Michael's. Like, God just placed an affection in our heart for St. Michael's, and we didn't know why. And we kept bumping into people or hearing stories about St. Michael's and its history and what they were currently doing. And it just warmed our spirits. And we weren't sure why, because at the time Nina was there. Lorraine was there. They're a good church, and we're here meant to be focusing on St. Mary's and Lydia's curacy. And we didn't know why. But we just knew we had this affection for them, and we would pray for them. And to be quite honest, whenever we could, we'd walk past it, because we just loved it. We just had the sense of love. And we just, whenever we would walk past and whenever we would pray, we'd just really feel this and sense God's hand on them. Like something, God was moving. And God was going to be moving. And there was good things about to be happening. And in a way, we're kind of like, oh man, if only we could be part of that. But we're at St. Mary's, and it's awesome too. So let's just pray for both, sort of a thing. And we loved hearing about St. Michael's. We just enjoyed all that it was. And then when this started to come up, when it was even mentioned as a whisper, you know, we sort of jumped. We were like, yes! I don't know what you're asking yet, but yes! And so we went and we walked the parish as a family, and we prayed for it. And God just increased our love then, not just for the church, but for the community, the people who live in the area. And we think it's lovely. We really, really do. And we have this deep sense of, we really feel called to St. Michael's. We could have it wrong, we could have it wrong, but we don't think we do. Can't say that. Anyway, okay. And so for us, one of the things that really stands out for us as we think of St. Michael's and we pray for St. Michael's is the picture is of David in the field. Small but mighty, perhaps overlooked by man, but not by God. And so for us, we are very excited to see if we can get to be a part of the future of that story for St. Michael's.
Yeah, and part of a graft as well, Malcolm's very clear picture there, is to graft into it, to the other plant, you need a plant with really strong roots. So it's not like a dying plant somewhere and it's going to resuscitate it somehow, but it's a plant that's already there, established with strong roots. And this is really St. Michael's. It has such strong, established roots. And just some of the things we've been aware of from what people have shared with us and what we've been reading about them in their little history book, it's amazing, is that actually there's real roots of prayer in that place. There's real roots of healing, of family of all generations coming together. They're such a committed people, devoted to that local community. They're also a sending church as well. They have sent many people for ordination themselves, and the Holy Spirit is really moving through them. So they already have really strong roots there. But we just see such a beautiful presence of God over them. And it's just as Malcolm said, it's not that there's no fruit, but by grafting in, you see more fruit. And it's not so much of St. Mary's going over there, we're here now. It's not about that, but it's really like adoption. Is St. Michael's will be adopting some of St. Mary's in. And just like any family with any new addition, a new season, new fruit is established, and a new way of doing family together. We see through this graft as well, just seeing new fruit growing, and I suppose just seeing more people coming to know Jesus. And as we've walked to the area and walked past St. Michael's, we just see St. Michael's is a kind of a real home, a real family home for the whole community to come and know what it is to be a child of God and to know what it is to live in God's kingdom.
So if you would pray for us, please, as we continue to discern, like Malcolm mentioned, we are the nominated candidates. We're going to go for an interview, so they can say no. It's on the 25th of February, so pray for us that we would be able to be vulnerable and honest and ourselves in the interview. Pray for the people at St. Michael's that they would hear the God's call and what God wants, if God indeed wants us or not, that they would hear it and have the courage to go with whatever God's call is for them. Pray for them, pray for the surrounding community that the grace and the love of God would just flood them. They need God as much as we do, so we would love to see, Malcolm's always talking about revival, not just here, but we'd love to see revival throughout Loughton and Epping Forest. Pray for yourselves too. Pray for wisdom, for how to respond, whether it's coming with us, whether it's staying and stepping up, or just praying for others who are in current roles, that they would have the strength to carry on. But yeah, mainly please pray for the discernment for us and for St. Michael's, that God's will ultimately would be done.
Brilliant. Thank you. Brilliant. Well done. Lorraine, let's give Lorraine a welcome. It's so good. We love that you're here. Thank you for coming. Come and share what's on your heart.
Well, thank you for inviting me and for allowing me to talk to you all. I love the way Lydia and Mark started by talking about how God sets a plan in place. For me, I've been at St. Michael's since I was 5 years old. We won't go into how long that is, but it's a very, very long time. And sometimes you wonder when you're part of a community what you're there for. And for those of you, and as I look out at this family here at St. Mary's, it warms my heart how many of you I know through all the different things that God has put me into throughout my time in Loughton. I won't go through all the things that I've done, but what you need to know is that my passion is Loughton. And those of you that know me through all the different things that I do in all the different places, because I'm not just based in the parish of St. Michael's, you will know that I do have a passion for Loughton, for the whole of it. I love the way Churches Together in Loughton has come on. What an amazing gift that is. I love the way I've got to know people from all of the churches in Loughton through the work of street pastors. And all I can say is Loughton doesn't know how lucky it is to have us all, because we love it so very much. And so, to me, God started the journey for me a long, long time ago. And part of that relationship, which I know Malcolm's really interested in relationships, and relationships are really important, part of that is all the relationships that I've made with you in all of my different roles over the years to be able to stand here and for you to know me with the words that I say and with my conviction and my heart and my passion for God. And also how it ties in is, you know, thank you, Lydia, for taking my whole story away with the roots. Because roots are so important. And that is what is important in grafting. And God has always had a passion for St. Michael's. Always. And we have a building. We had a building extension some 10 years ago. And that cost us £75,000, and we had no debt from it by the end of it, even though we still had quite a small congregation to pay for it. Last year, we refurbished all the interior of the church at £35,000. We have no debt for that. Part of our reason for refurbishing the church was because everybody said it looked so dull because the wood was so dark. it did need, the floor did need changing too. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, sometimes we have to move with the times and do what the people say. Be it right or be it wrong, people these days like things to look good. That's another sermon in itself. But so God has a passion for us, and part of that has been him saying, I want St. Michael's in this place, and I want you to stand firm. And that understanding and knowledge of family is what St. Michael's has always been to me. The beauty of growing up in a church from since you're five is that you become very aware you have two families, especially if none of your family go to church. The reason I went to church was because the vicar from across the road came over and asked my mum whether I could go with his daughter to church, and I've not left it since. And so when things go wrong in my life, I have two families. I have my own family and I have the church family. And don't let my own family know, but the church family is better because it prays and it has a direct link to God. And it's because of my praying family that I know I can cope and all will be well. And that sense of family is huge at St. Michael's. There are couples in their 80s in our church that got together at the youth club at St. Michael's. My husband and I got together because of the youth club at St. Michael's. That sense of family continues to exist. And as you say, we have a healing team and we have a small healing team. But their prayers are powerful and people are healed. Thank you, Lord, because of your gifts. And so to me, this graft means everything, because it means that we can show the whole of Loughton how communities can come together. We are the body of Christ, not just one church, but all the churches. And together we are powerful and we need to constantly work together. And so I, like Lydia and Mark, ask you to pray for this, to pray for us, to pray that the right decisions and the right choices are made, and for you to think about, as Malcolm's put it today, this opportunity to graft yourselves into something else that can grow and bear fruit, starting with Loughton and then moving out from there.
Amen. Thank you. Well done. Fantastic. I'd love us to stand for a moment. Please stand, and just give us an opportunity to stretch your legs. And we'll just wait for the chairs. Just get into little groups of twos and threes and fours and wherever you feel you'd like to. And why don't we just pray? The first thing I'd like us to do is pray. So let's do that now. And we're going to pray for, if you want to sit, you can. I just want to say, but I just wanted to change position. But just do pray. Pray into what you've heard so far. Pray for Mark and Lydia. Pray for Lorraine, for St. Michael's. Pray for God's heart for us here, for multiplication for St. Michael's, but also beyond that as well, to plant churches and to plant the gospel in Loughton here and beyond. Amen. So let's take 10 minutes and pray together now. Thank you. St. Michael's. And we pray, Father, for every church in Loughton, every church in this community, Lord, to be bright of witness for Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that we would see a great turning to you in our generation. Thank you, Father God. Put the seeds, the seed, Lord God, in us that would multiply. And that would I pray, Father, for that spirit of unity together. One heart, one mind. And Father God, that you will give us that vision that we have, every person in every place saturated with God. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Do take a seat. We're nearly done tonight. Just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. So we've been carrying that vision for some time now, and it's great to be able to share that with you. And one of the reasons we wanted to share it with you at this time is actually to give you time. Because these things are discerned and they take time. And one of the things we'll do next week is actually have some time for discussion and questions and answers and reflection and so on. And it would be great for you to take this week for you to be thinking about this and reflecting on it and coming back next week if you've got questions or issues that you want to raise or things you want to talk about. We'd be more than happy to share those. And I'd also like next week to be able to pray together and ask the Lord for prophetic words. And if you do get a word from the Lord, please do come and email me with that or Mark and Lydia. We would love to hear what we're just wanting to press close in to Jesus to hear what he's saying to us. Now, if you turn to the last page, just for the last few minutes, I just want to talk about the second aspect. So we're taking a lot of time tonight to talk about multiplying churches because it's quite new for us. And the second thing I want us to look at is this thinking. Hang on, let's move it on. Matt, would you mind moving on the slide? There we go. About multiplying leaders. Because one of the things that God wants, if we're going to be multiplying churches, we need to be investing and raising up leaders. This is something that's been in my heart for quite a long time. If I'm honest, I don't think I've been very good at it in the past. I tried a few things, and I'm not, you know, it is how it is. Sometimes things don't work very well, which is me. But one of the, I'm just being honest with you. One of the things that God is stirring up is this heart to raise up leaders. And for quite a while now, I've been looking at developing this thing called leading together. And conversations with one or two other people about it as well. And you'll see here on the notes. So this is a St. Mary's Leadership Development course that's going to be run twice this year. And we've got some dates for it. It's a spring course and a summer course. And we'll see how we go there, and we'll see if we think we need to do an autumn one or a winter one, but we'll start there with two. And there's six sessions, and we're looking at kind of five evenings, Saturday morning. And here are, at the moment, so this is not final, but it's a draft, if you like. This is where I've got to, and I kind of started with a blank sheet, really, and I asked in prayer and said to the Lord, if I was looking for leaders in St. Mary's, what kind of characteristics and qualities would I like to see in these leaders? And so these are the things that came out, really. So there's the emphasis here on training, vision, courage, love, encounter, and discipleship. And I've added to those some of the elements that might be part of this, what we might be talking about here. So you can get a little bit more of a picture of it. And it's mostly to do with character. It's mostly to do with the inner life. And I think that really is the key in leadership, good leadership, healthy leadership, loving, God-centered leadership. So we're going to be looking at Bible leaders as well, and Timothy, Simeon and Anna, Gideon, Joseph, Elijah, Paul, and possibly others as well, looking from the Bible about how they led and what experiences they had. There'll be time for practical biblical teaching, leadership skills, which is quite an important aspect here. Just the sheer skills, a toolbox, if you like, of how to lead. It's really important. Discussion time, prayer, worship. And actually, a reason I've put this, I don't know if you remember this discipleship square from last year, when we went into the Hope Center and we spent quite a bit of time on this square, honesty, looking at honesty, teaching, training, and encouragement. I've kind of still been puzzling over this year as to what God wants us to really do with that. And I really felt that this could be significant to actually implement this discipleship square. Now, if you want to, you might need to log on to the website and look at the teaching that I did on this this time last year at the Journeying Together evening, because we did quite a lot of input onto this. I'm not going to do that again. You'll be glad to know. But this is something I felt God gave me in a dream in April last year, April 2017. So it's something I would love to see worked out in our church life together, and we can use it as a sort of reflective cycle. So, for example, each time we might try to build honesty in our approach to one another. Each time we might try to have, we would have some teaching and a training element, and also an encouragement element for us as well. So just trying to lean into those things. Hopefully that makes sense. And really what I'd love to do is see this as something that all leaders in St. Mary's would do. Life group, Ignite, different, you know, whether you're in prayer ministry or you name it, whatever aspect of life and leadership you're part of, that this is something so that we do all really have the same values and the same character, heart, the biblical heart of leadership that God's calling us into. And it's really something that we need, I believe that God would call us to sort of raise our bar in, and really together. It will give us a language that we'd be able to talk with one another about, in terms of for leaders being able to understand what's expected and how we actually function as leaders here at St. Mary's. Paul spoke about this in the New Testament. There's teaching in the New Testament as to what is expected of a leader. And sometimes I think I'd love to see that borne out more in our practical leadership here at St. Mary's. Yeah? And so we'll be opening applications for that soon. And I'm excited about that. It's been something on my mind for a while. It's one of those things that we just have to do and start, because it's really, really important. And I need to one of the things I'm trying to do at the moment with Saturated, I spoke about earlier, and this, is to try and get some more time for writing these things, because I would like to do some writing again and kind of beginning to feel led for more writing. So we'll see how that goes, and so bear with me in that, because writing takes time. So that's all. That's good. So I hope that we could get a vision to, you know, be a church that really invests in leaders and has a New Testament biblical approach to leadership together. A lot of the time when I've been involved in leadership training, it has not been that biblical. It's been bringing in leadership stuff from all over the place, which I think is great, and we'd love to do some of that. But I would also love to carry the heart of what the Bible teaches to us as well. Next week we're going to be focusing on the multiplying of disciples. And really the heart there is, again, as we usually gather in the summer for a staff retreat to pray actually into the year ahead, the next year. So we'll be gathering this summer to talk about 2020. And as we did that, one of the things that came out was this phrase, less events and more equipping. So we're not going to be doing big events like Love Loughton in 2019. It won't be a church weekend, we just had one. But some of the big events that actually take up quite a lot of our headspace, we're going to dial down on. There's not going to be a centralized Alpha this year. We're trying to dial down on that. And actually, if I could just say, well, for Alpha, one part of the reason for that, although Alpha will return, is we're seeing actually a lot of fruitfulness in things like Living Hope and the community ministry that's going on, which is really bearing fruit in terms of the relational side of things. But that's for another day. So we're wanting to give more time into investing in discipleship, really, and equipping people for how to do ministry and how to lead and how to be disciples of Jesus, really, rather than being organizing too many events, which takes a lot of time. So next Tuesday, we're going to take more time to discuss together what's been shared tonight. There will be questions and reflections. But I also want an opportunity to talk about this third theme that we haven't got onto of multiplying disciples. And that is really, really important. So I don't want you to go away with just two of the three. If you can't make it here next week, please listen online, because I want us all to be able to get what we're saying about that. And we'll be outlining some changes that will be happening in the church program this year, and then updates and developments, for example, including Ignite, Life Groups, Living Hope, Wholeness, Global Missions, other things too. So we'll be focusing a bit more next week on St. Mary's and what changes that might bring to us over this coming year, and developments and updates. That makes sense. And also there will be time next week for us to, as I've said, listen to God over what we've spoken about tonight. Okay. Is everybody okay? Yeah? Let me pray for us as we close. We're going to close. Do you know what? The Lord is here. Great Anglicans among us. A miracle has happened. Does anybody know what? We're finishing early. Oh, there must be something else we should be talking about. No, we're ahead of schedule, which is marvelous. So let's close in prayer. I'll be at the door if you've got any questions or anything like that. We'd love to talk. Come back next week and we'll continue this journey of Multiply together. So let me pray for us. Loving Father God, we thank you, and I feel so privileged to be part of this church and this community. Really privileged to be a believer in this day, at this time, for such a time as this. I thank you, Lord, that as I look out across our church family tonight, Lord, I just feel so excited that there's such kingdom potential to make a difference in the world in which we live. And Lord, even though our world is so cluttered with hopelessness, I just thank you, Father. I just feel such a sense of hope that when the people of God pray, when the people of God preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel, when the people of God are filled with the Holy Spirit and die to self and surrender to Christ, thank you that nothing is impossible with God. And I just pray tonight you'd send us out from this place in faith, in unity, and in love. Help us remember to love one another and keep us, Father God, the lamp burning in our hearts, that fire burning in each of our hearts. Lord, when it grows dim, Lord, I pray you would just fan it into flame. Keep us burning for you, Father God, and for your glory. And to everything, Lord, now to him who, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be praise and glory and honor and power. To the name of Jesus be all glory. We worship you and praise you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.